Church, man, starting next week, we're in the book of 1 Thessalonians. I want to thank Jordan for putting together the intro to that, and I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful, man, there's so many people that does little things that, you know, probably never really get the credit, you know, and I just want to pass that on. I'm thankful for Jordan. Jeff and Brian back there always doing the sound. They're the most important. They make all this happen, you know. So, 1 Thessalonians, I'm ready. I'm ready to get in that book and to dive in deep. So start reading it this week if you want to. It's a short book, but we'll be in it for several months together. But here's what I'm doing today. I'm wrapping up a mini-series that we started. We finished the series, Save Not Soft, based upon how they silence Christians when we actually need to be loud. We need to shine our light in dark places. So quit being so soft, believer, right? That's what we heard for several months from the Lord. Quit being so soft and take a stand for the Lord. And then we decided to take 3 weeks and talk about the mission or the vision of God's church. And we are the church of the living God, and the mission's real simple. The mission is real simple. You know, Jesus Christ came to planet Earth, and he came for a reason. There was really two reasons he came, but one of the main reasons he came is the world was born in sin. Once mankind chose sin, everybody's born into this planet a sinner. And we got the Old Testament law. There was all these sacrifices, rules, all that put in place. And what we found out is the blood of bulls and goats, man, couldn't do it. That's what the book of Hebrews says. So God himself came down. And what he did is God himself came down, and Jesus Christ took upon himself the sins of the world, our sins, and he bled and he died. And the good news is 3 days later, he resurrected from the grave. That is the gospel. That's the word gospel means good news. The good news is in the midst of the bad on planet Earth, in the midst of the bad that we're born with, our human nature, with a dead spirit, Jesus Christ came down, gave his life, and then says, by faith, you can put your faith, your trust in me. So Jesus Christ took my sin. He took death for me and he resurrected. So being a Christian is not how good of a person you are. It's not based upon the good and bad scale. And everybody always thinks that. They think we're going to get to heaven and God's going to plop you on the scale. If that's the case, guess what? We're all done for, right? We're all doomed. You can't be good enough. Matter of fact, the Bible says, in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. And a lot of times people that look so good and they act so good, then they become so arrogant, thinking they're so good and thinking they act better than everybody else. And then we got another problem. And the Bible says it's the number one thing that the Lord says he hates in Proverbs is a proud look, is an arrogant person, right? So being a Christian is all based upon what Jesus Christ has done. And then once we meet Jesus Christ, you know what he says? He's leaving planet Earth in Matthew 20. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to shine the light, man. In a world that's filled with bad news, you got to be the carriers of good news. So church, it's our job to carry the good news to the world. We kind of base our mission, we've been using John 14:6 lately, which it says this. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And these three things is what our church wants to be about. Jesus Christ said he is the way. The Christian way, the way is a person. It's not just a path. It's not just a bunch of do's and don'ts. We become a Christian by meeting the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, if being a Christian is meeting a person, it goes beyond empty religion and you actually enter into a relationship, right? That's what Christianity is. You remember when Adam sinned in the garden? The Bible says God comes down and saying, hey, where art thou? Because they used to walk together, it says, in the cool of the day. They had a relationship, a daily ongoing relationship. So Jesus Christ said, I am the way. Folks, people are lost. They don't know what's up. They don't know if they're on foot or horseback. Today, people are so confused. And one of the reasons the confusion exists is because they don't have a target. They don't have a foundation. So everybody makes up their own target. This is what success looks like. And I'll be happy when we did a question when we were doing a bunch of team building. We just said, hey, are you truly happy? And there was quite a few people that said, not really. The best part about it was the next question then. If you're not truly happy, what would make you happy? And it sounded something like this. They didn't know. But they were going to make that up. That's what people do. They make it up. They make their own rules up. They set their own target. The guy that shoots the hole in the barn and it looks perfect, well, you shoot the hole in the barn first, then paint the target around it. Then you're a great shot, right? Well, it don't work that way. The Bible already set up the target for us. We know what it is, and so we got to look at it, and this is what we need to shoot for, right? So Jesus Christ is the way. We talked about that. People are lost. They need to know the way. I hope you know Christ today. I hope you're not just a religious lady, a religious guy, but you need to know Jesus Christ. He is the way. The second thing he says, he is the truth, the way, the truth. Bo preached on this last week. You know, the truth in John 17 is described as the Bible. And Jesus says that God guide them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, John 17:17. So the Bible is truth. So Jesus Christ is the way, and he's given us his mind right here. This is the book of truth. So our church, number one, is all about evangelism, man. We tell people the good news. They can make their own decision, but we got to deliver the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel, right? It's the power of God unto salvation. Then they need to grow. This is growth right here. This is the truth. They need to know what the target is. And so this is what will change your life. This book will change your behavior. And this is the thing, we're getting to the third thing here. So he's the way, the truth. We call the truth here like discipleship. This is where you can grow. You can develop the spiritual habits in your life. We meet one-on-one with people. We got even a set of lessons that help them get in this book and learn the truth. Or we call it doctrine. That's what God calls it. That word doctrine just means the teaching. What's the doctrine of the Bible? And some people say, oh, doctrine don't matter as long as you all believe in Christ. The Bible don't back that up. That sounds like a nice thought, but that is just false. That is not true. We need to know what the truth is. So we got to grow in truth. So we believe that people need to meet Christ, but not just come to church. This ain't about giving a few of your bucks to the church. It's about a transformation of life. You learn the truth of the Bible, and learning proper Bible doctrine will change the way you live. Christianity was always supposed to change the way people live. A lot of times people think of, you know, like God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And, you know, they just lean against the light post. It's so much more than that. This book was given to us to change our lives and to change our minds, to change our hearts. And so Jesus is the way, the truth, and the third thing he says, and the life. This is what I'm going to preach on today is the life. See, it's very similar to a tree. The gospel, Romans 1:16 says, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So, I don't make people saved. You don't make people saved or become Christians. That's their choice. But it's your job to deliver the message. So what we do is the Bible says, you know, my dad had a seed, it planted inside of my mom, and then out came me, a whole new life. That's why childbirth, when you go through it, will flip your lid. It's like, what? It's miraculous. Grown men cry. Women, of course, cry and scream. But grown men, it's very moving to see that I can't believe this. I can't believe that we've created this. Well, God set it up to work that way, so guess what? If we're all born in sin, the Bible says it takes a righteous seed, an incorruptible seed. If you want to, and you're quick in your Bible, you can go to 1 Peter 1:23 if you want to with me. If not, they can put it up there and you can look at it on the screen. Check it out later. So 1 Peter 1:23 says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. There's a story in the Bible of a guy, Nicodemus, that, you know, goes to Jesus, and he's working, and Jesus says, here's the deal, dude. You need to be born again. Born again. He goes, how can I be born again? I'm a grown man. Can I enter back into my mother's womb? No, that's not the point. You need to be spiritually made alive. See, we've got a body, soul, and a spirit, and that spirit is born dead because we are in sin. That has no connection with God, none. And all of a sudden, the incorruptible seed, Jesus Christ, dies and says the incorruptible seed is the word of God. And if we accept by faith what it says about our salvation, we can become born again. You become a brand new spiritual life. That's it. And this is our job. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's very powerful. So when we take the seed of the Bible And then when a seed's planted, and then all of a sudden, and by the way, you know what the Bible says, when a seed's planted, it must be dead. It's a dead, completely dead seed. It's lifeless. Till you put it in, put it in the right soil. You give it the right nutrients and you give it water and do all the things it's supposed to do. And then all of a sudden the Bible says that that seed will actually begin to grow and multiply. See, we got to realize something, that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Dead. And you can't make life on your own. That's what people do. They're like dead people trying to make themselves alive. It don't work. But supernaturally, all of a sudden, the Bible says that this thing can grow. So we get the seed of the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the way, right? The incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And if you accept by faith what it says, then you need to grow. You've got to grow spiritually. If you don't intentionally grow, you just won't grow. That's when a lot of people says, that girl must not be saved. Look at the way she lives. Folks, it's very possible she just hasn't grown. Be careful of that kind of judgment on people. Because some people get out of church, they're not in the Word, they start living around people they shouldn't be living, and they're like, oh yeah. We had a guy actually get saved, I remember just several years ago, and a Christian group came up to me and says, yeah, you said that guy became a Christian. He goes, he was out drinking the other night. I said, dude, Christians can drink. And I said, Christians can punch you right in the neck. And so I did. Then I ask forgiveness, but I'm just kidding. Just because you're a Christian, you should live correctly. But who always lives correctly in here? Who always does the right thing? We are fighting a battle because I got flesh. I'm a human being, but I've got righteousness in Jesus Christ living inside of me. Folks, I've got to grow here. This is what I need to feed, right? So there's a seed. And when it produces growth, Jesus is the way, then the truth means you grow in the Word of God. Then it says Jesus Christ is the life. Way, truth, life. Then your life transforms. See, I want you to know something. The Bible set this up at the very beginning of time and says when there's a tree, it produces after its own kind. Apple trees produce apples, you know. Orange trees produce oranges. And if you take an apple and you start eating an apple, there's seeds in there. And this happened to me. I don't know why this has never happened to me before. Sometimes I just eat the whole apple. I don't know about you. I just eat the seeds and the core and everything. I was like, man, it's got to be good. Why would God put the whole thing there, right? And so I ate to the middle, and I busted it open, and I'm just chewing, and I looked down. And I was like, what in God's name? And I pulled out a seed, and I don't know if these apples were old or not, but the seeds inside of it were already wanting to grow some roots, you know? So I was like, I probably should stop eating that whole thing. You know, I don't want them to get stuck in there. I'm like, my gosh, you know, I thought I was just gaining weight from eating too much, but don't eat whole apples. I got an apple tree inside of me coming out, you know. So that was supposed to be funny, but it's not coming off very good. So thanks, Renee Bratcher. I always count on you. So the gospel's the power of God. It's the seed. Then we grow. But what God wants from you and me is like when you have a tree that produces an apple and it's got seeds in it. Folks, if you plant those seeds in the ground, you know what grows up? You would think a stem and all of a sudden, an apple. It don't work that way. What it does, though, is it produces a apple tree. And that tree has the capability of producing many of apples. That's how the Christian life is supposed to work. You're supposed to accept the seed of the Word of God. You're supposed to, man, it'll plant inside of you, accept it, and then you begin to grow, and you become a tree of life. You begin, so what do Christians produce? You should produce other Christians. You start with the fruit of the Spirit, which is your behavior and attitude. You get the fruit of the Spirit, and then you have fruit, the fruit of souls, right? The field of souls. People end up meeting Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and he's the life. And so I just want to leave you with this big thought today, and that is, guys, we have got to grow. Some of you know some things about the Bible. You've been saved, but you are no longer acting like a tree. You're not producing fruit. You know, I even think people practically, people should feel shade from your life. There's a lot of things people use trees for. And the Bible speaks of pruning, like if you get too big for your britches, your fruit gets smaller and smaller. Like, what do we need? Well, we need to prune this tree. It's the principle of the farmer. Prune that thing. Sometimes you go through difficulty. God's been pruning our church because he wants our fruit to be just that good and that solid. And it's okay. You got to be okay with that, right? So once you accept the seed of the gospel and you begin, you're supposed to grow. The Bible says in Romans 6:4 that we should walk in a newness of life. Your life should be new. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Christianity exists to change our lives. It should change the way I walk. It should change the way you walk. A lot of people go to church. A lot of people are offended at this because they're always like, oh my gosh, church is just filled with hypocrites. I get it. That guy claims to be a Christian. You hear the way he acts, you hear the way he talks. I get it. And the whole point is this. Yeah, Christianity should be change the way you think, the way you should behave. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you want to mark it down. But this is a great verse, but it just says, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. You get life on the inside. Jesus Christ moves in. Then you begin to grow on the inside. You become like a transformer. The Bible says you actually... You're renewed by transforming. You be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what's inside comes out, right? It's the popcorn principle, right? This is what happens. A seed grows, and you should be like a tree. You should nourish people. You should, everywhere you go, give life. There's people all over the world that they would starve. I mean, you go down, like even down, you go down like in even Belize, and you look... Heck, I was down to Florida, and the deer down there look like dogs. They're little, you know. You go down to Belize, there's hardly any of them. One is they have a lot of other things hunting them besides human beings. They're just little, so you know what people do? They plant trees all through their yard. Somebody that's got their wits about them in their yard, and they got different seasons, different, you know, they're just like, hey, man, would you like a, one time I was just like, man, I love sour candy. And they're like, oh, you like sour candy? Called one of his kids over and says, go open that tree. This kid climbed this tree, come back down and hand me this little, and he says, that's just a premature grapefruit. He said, suck on that. Woo! And it changed my life forever. It was incredible. But see, this is what they do. Plantains, all, I don't know about you, I don't like pineapples. You know why I don't like pineapples? It's a texture thing. I don't like crunchy onions real well either, and that's what the pineapple is, the onion of the fruit family. And so when I get them out of a can and they're hard, or you're eating like, and my mom, was not a good cook. So dessert for us was like a can of fruit cocktail in a plate bowl, and we would eat it, put it on our plate. Then had pineapples in it that were hard. Well, it wasn't until I actually went down to Belize and they got a pineapple and cut, and it was fresh, and it was like a tangerine. That texture wasn't there, and I'd realized I've been eating old things, my whole old pineapple. It's kind of like coconut. I don't like coconuts very well. Have you had fresh coconut? They'd crack a one, they'd crack it up and say, hey, drink this. One time I drank it, and it was like milky. And he goes, oh, that's old. The next time they poured it, it was clear. He goes, that's got more electrolytes than Pedialyte. You ought to drink that. So I drank it, and I was like, oh, it don't even taste gross. Then they gave me half a coconut and a spoon. It was like gelatin, like pudding. I was like, so this is what fresh coconut's supposed to be like. I'm just like, man, I eat dry shavings, and I don't care for it real well. Put an almond in it, wrap it in chocolate, I could deal with that. But I can't eat coconut by itself. I want you to know something. God, the seed inside of you and me, we are supposed to grow, and we are supposed to be like trees. And Jesus says this back in Proverbs. It says it over and over again. I want to talk to you this, the principle about Jesus being the way, the truth, but the life. Like, it should revolutionize our life. Let me give you an acronym. Are you ready? LIFE. Here's what it stands for. Live in faith every day. This is the Christian life. We're supposed to live in faith every day, or you could even say everywhere. Because a lot of times Christians, we come to church and this is our Christian time. This is our spiritual time. And once we leave church, we go back to our old ways. We do whatever we want during the week. The Christian life is every day, man. It's a relationship we're supposed to have. We are supposed to be a tree every day, hoping to give people life and fruit and nourishment from our lives, because we're constantly dropping that book. This is what we do, right? Every day, but also everywhere. It's something we do everywhere we're at. We don't turn that off and on. You know, it's like, hey, you know, it's like when they... asked me to do that graduation ceremony, and they're like, hey, basically what they were telling me is, hey, don't make it so Christian Do you know what we mean? Don't make it so spiritual. I'm like, I can't change who I am. I'm spiritual and I'm a Christian. If you want me to do it, that's what's going to happen, you know, because I'm a tree. I'm a tree once I met Jesus Christ. And by the way, if we have time today, I'll show you a little principle on the tree of life. You know, that was at the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, and it appears just in the middle. It only appears 10 times in Scripture, but it's very unique how God set the tree of life up. And that's why Jesus Christ, when he come to planet Earth and they decide that he's going to take the sins of the world and they're going to crucify him, they're going to kill him for it. So what did they do? They put him on the cross, or they put him and they hung him on a tree. But he became the fruit that has given us life. And when we take that fruit, now all of a sudden we have the capability of the seed of the Word of God inside of us. I not only become saved, but I grow in that, and then I become like a tree. And everywhere I go, people can get nourishment. I want to see other people get saved too. And when I plant other seeds, guess what? That's what Christians do. Apples produce apple trees. You know what Christians do? We produce other Christians. And some people would say, well, I never really thought of that. Well, probably because you have an unbiblical view of Christianity. You think Christianity is just for your good. It's just for you. Well, I had some bad habits, and man, I became a Christian, it helped me. Or about the time you want to settle down. Every guy likes a wild woman until you want to get married. And then a lot of guys are like, yeah, I want a good girl. Oh, now you want. See, it's all for your benefit. It's not really for the glory and benefit of the one that gave you life. Jesus is the way, he's the truth, he's the life. Jesus become that tree of life, and once you and me meet him, guess what? We're supposed to conform our lives to what? His image. So we become like Jesus. Christianity is about transformation of life. He has transformed our lives. Our lives should be different every day and everywhere. Live in faith every day. Life. Life. And some people say the Christian life don't work for me. It's amazing people that say that to me. And then I just always ask them a few little questions. Like, and usually the first one is not, are you in church? I'll ask you, let me ask you something, man. Are you in the Bible? Like, because I know you got the seed, but are you growing? Are you feeding your spiritual man on the inside? And normally their response is 98% of the time people say, well, I pray a lot, man. Okay, I get it. And that's a good thing, too. That you can pray to the Lord. But I'll tell you, I need more of his words than he needs of mine. I got to hear from him. I got to allow that seed to grow inside of me. He's the way. I got to know the truth, and it'll transform my life. People don't believe this. Doctrine is so important. What the Bible teaches, we're going to be in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and it covers a whole gamut of things. And you know what it's going to do? Doctrine changes behavior. Don't fool yourself. It's not just about Jesus. People like to sing songs about Jesus. They don't get in the Bible. Who cares what everybody believes? What do you mean, who cares what everybody? The Bible says this. Paul says to Timothy, he says, hey, make sure you teach good doctrine. And you preach, man. You make sure you're a preacher. Don't let every other church, you know, the cool churches. They just want cool music and they want coffee. They're going to give a little message and everybody's going to go home and it's going to be okay. Don't be that guy. Preach the Bible, man. That's what he tells Timothy. And you know why it is? Because when you get in the way, you start developing the truth, you'll grow and become like a tree of life. The very thing that Jesus became for you, you become Jesus in a dark world. You become light in a world. You become good news in the midst of all the bad. Do you see it? It's really simple. He started off at the very beginning in the garden. Every tree bears fruit after its kind. And some of you would say, I'm not sure I have any really fruit in my life that I'm a Christian. Maybe you are not a Christian. Or the other alternative is you just haven't grown. You haven't fed that thing. And that's what you need to do, growing on the inside. Hey, let me give you a couple things that Jesus said about trees. Well, before I get to that, let me do this. I studied life. Every time life appears in the Bible, every single verse, I wanted to look at it. Life, 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 life. What is it? How does this go? Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. The Bible transforms people's lives. Jesus told everybody this, I am the bread of life. Jesus said this in John chapter 6. He tells everybody, I am the bread, but not just any normal bread. I'm the bread of life. Well, bread is made to be eaten. Put it on the inside, man. Bread looks good, smells good. Becky made some banana bread last night. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. She goes, I made it for the coffee shop. Well, I made sure that I made sure it was good for the coffee shop and good for the church. And so I got a piece of it, and she says, do you want the end? Yes, I want the end too. A little butter in a microwave, and I put it inside, and I was like, okay, it's a little rough. You might want to keep this home so we can finish it here. The bread of life. Jesus said he's the bread of life. He goes, if you accept me, you'll never hunger again. Now, we always notice when it's the woman at the well where he says, drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. He says both things in John chapter 6. You'll never hunger, you'll never thirst. Basically meaning this, Jesus Christ satisfies every need of the human heart. Everyone, you'll never thirst. You'll never hunger. Not that you won't have problems. Not that you won't have doubts. I mean, he don't say any of that. Not that your life will be perfect. But he just says, every hunger and longing that any human being has, Jesus Christ satisfies that. He's the bread of life. Take it. Right? Eat of that inside. The second thing Jesus Christ says about life is he says, I'm also, and he says this two chapters later, I am the light of life. That's what he calls himself. He also calls himself in another passage, the prince of life. But here it says he's the light of life. And he says, if you accept me and know me, you will no longer walk in darkness. It affects the way you walk. You see that? Jesus is the bread of life. Eat it. Put it on the inside. He says, I'm also the light of life, and it'll affect the way you walk. You will see things completely different, man. The darkness will be illuminated, right? Now listen, Jesus Christ says, eat of me, take of me, right? And you got to put it on the inside. Being a Christian starts here. Being a Christian starts on the inside and goes out. People have a false concept of that too, because they think, oh, I'm going to church. Man, I stopped drinking, quit doing drugs, quit chasing, women, or I've had people tell me, we had one lady that said she'll become a Christian, but she's trying to quit smoking. I was like, if you really feel like you need to quit smoking, it's super possible. You don't have the ability and the power or the strength to get that done. Meet Jesus Christ. Let this start on the inside, and you're going to find you'll have the strength to change some of those things that if he wants you to change them. That's always a weird one. I'm not about smoking, by the way, but I got a biography of Dwight L. Moody in there. Like every other pitcher, man, that dude's toking on a pipe, and I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. Man, this guy started like three Bible colleges, man. He's well-known. Moody Bible Institute up in Chicago. It was just an era of time. It was a little bit more of a cultural thing, But, he would toke a pipe. And I tried to bring that back, but then I got threatened to get fired. So I'm not smoking anymore. The bread of life, the light of life. This is what Jesus Christ said he was. So he's life. Take him, right? And then also the light that he gives will illuminate your path and it'll guide you and you'll no longer walk the same. So the Christian walk, you meet Jesus Christ the way you learn the truth. Know what the Bible says. Once you learn what the Bible says, it'll affect the way you live. It'll change your life. What's your life looking like, Christian? Here's what we could do is I could just poll people that know you. Let me poll the people you work with. Let me poll your neighbors. Let me poll your family and see what they would say about you. Is Jesus your way? Is he your truth? Do you live your life to honor him? Does it affect the way you walk? Because it should. Because doctrine changes behavior. Spiritual growth changes all that. Hey, two things that, now I'm back where I'm supposed to be. Two things Jesus said about trees that I really like and I find interesting. Did you know, we tried something different this year. We like a garden. We like the idea of a garden more than we like a garden, but we still, it's nice to see you plant a garden. Weeds take over and it gets on our nerves and all that type of thing. And so we tried to plant a garden last year, and then where we live, the sun comes 2 weeks later, the sun changed. They didn't get no sun. We had a terrible garden last year. I'm like, nothing came out of that really whole little plot of land we had, So we decided we've heard of bucket garden, so let's have a bucket garden. And so, I rigged up buckets, man, drilled a hole in the bottom, put the gravel on the bottom, and then we put some soil and even put some mulch on top to keep moisture in there better. And so, we got this big old hairy looking like vine out of one of them and nothing. like nothing. And I guess we got a few little green. You know, everybody else is eating tomatoes. My neighbors call me every other day and say, hey, I got more tomatoes. You guys want some tomatoes? Man, we were supposed to have our own tomatoes. But this thing ain't producing. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And not only is it ugly because I got a Lowe's bucket in my driveway with something coming out of it. It don't match. You know, it's not like it's really good for the decor. But it's not. We did this to have tomatoes off of that plant. And guess what? We're done with it. We don't even give it water anymore. Like, who cares? It's gone. Bucket garden. Now, we are getting jalapenos. You know, that's kind of nice to see that thing blooming. It's doing what it's supposed to do. When you meet Jesus Christ, guess what? You're supposed to grow. Did you know it's expected? When you, the seed of God's word planted inside of you, you are expected to be changed. We are expected to get in the Bible. We are expected to feed our spiritual life and grow. It's expected of us to be like a tree planted by the living water. Having fruit in its season, and it does not wither, but it prospers, Psalms chapter 1. So Jesus Christ, if you want to take your Bibles, you can go over to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Now, when we get in Thessalonians, I'll go to the book of Thessalonians. You'll look at the passage. We'll stay there. You'll see it. This ain't one of those messages, sorry. A little harder to follow. But in Mark chapter 11, he repeats this story in several of the Gospels, but he says in verse 21. Well, look at 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto them, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedest is withered away. The story goes, Jesus Christ goes by, and there's a fig tree, and all that's on fig trees is leaves. It's not a leaf tree. It's a fig tree. But there's nothing but leaves on it. Where's the figs? And so Jesus said, well, it'll be cursed. And it withered away. Why? It's expected to have figs. So I guess I want you to know, Christian, we're spiritual. You know, we are supposed to be spiritual people. We are expected to grow. We are expected to mature. And everybody, that, and you know what people say today is, hey, don't judge me. What do you mean don't judge me? We planted you 3-4 months ago. You're taller than me, and I got a few little green balls on this thing. It's not doing what I wanted. It's not doing what it's expected. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. And people always use that term. Yet the Bible even says spiritual people judge all things. We just judge things according to the Bible, not my opinion. It's okay to judge them according to God's word. But you'll look out, and I'm just like, no fruit. What's wrong with that? And most people, if you're like me, you don't know a whole lot about this. Somebody'd say, what's that there? Well, we're not sure. We were hoping to see red tomatoes on there. I'd take a green one at this point, a big green one to slice up. But nope, it's not there. Jesus walks by and says, fig tree, no figs. It withers away. Is it possible as a Christian, your Christian life, when you're not putting the time and energy into it that you should, that, you know, the seed of the Word of God, the way, and then the truth, that you're saturating yourself in the Bible and growing and becoming a healthy tree, allowing God to prune you, allowing His good work in your life? Have you ever got to a spot in your Christian life and you're just like, I just feel like it's just not the same. I'm withering away. Why? Ask yourself why. In Luke 13:8 is another passage where there's a story about a guy that goes by a tree. If you want to go there, Luke 13:8. This one here is a parable. Anytime Jesus tells a story, everybody says this, that's a parable. Well, let me give you a real good clue how this works. Look at verse 6. Luke 13, verse 6. He spake also this parable. We're getting ready to read a parable. When he don't say it's not a parable, it's not a parable. Like, he clearly tells us what it is, but people always say that. Jesus here, I hear preachers, Jesus in this story is telling us another parable. No, he's not. He didn't say it was a parable. Yeah. So here he says it's a parable. A certain man had a fig tree he planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought for fruit thereon and found none. Why did he seek for fruit on the fig tree? Why would you think he sought for fruit on this tree? Anybody? Because it's supposed to have figs on it. Yeah, very simple. That's the second great answer. Yeah, there should be fruit on that tree. Verse 7, then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I've come seeking fruit on the fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Get rid of it. It's not profitable. We'll plant another one. Get rid of it. And I do like the next verse because it says, he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year till I shall dig about it and dung it. Meaning, let's take extreme measures, and they would dig a trench around this tree, and they would pack some sort of manure on there, dung, to get it to take the nutrients. And so I've learned this. I've had Christians, you know, Christians always throw a fit like when difficulty comes in their life. But it's very possible if you're not fruit-bearing, if your Christian tree is not putting off good fruit, you know what he's going to do? He's so concerned about fruit. He don't want you just to wither away. His first option, I mean, he waited 3 years here. His first option wasn't get rid of him. He said, no, let's do this. Extreme measures, dig around and dung. So a lot of Christians will wonder, why is my life filled with dung? It don't transfer, does it? Crap. Why do you got crap all over your life? You know, the Lord loves you so much. You're not living for what he intended you to live for. And if you have one problem after another problem after another problem, it's possible that you just have a loving father, a loving owner of the vineyard saying, let's dig around this life and put dung around there. Dung is not so you'll smell. It's not so that you'll be destroyed. It's actually so you'll stop withering away. It's actually to help you. It's to help you grow. Because he's so concerned about you living the life. You becoming the Christian tree, man, that is nourishment for other people, planting seeds everywhere you go. That's the whole point of this. So question, are you a little withered this morning? Are you just feel withered? Is it possible that the Lord said, my gosh, we've done everything and you just won't do the right thing? And eventually, you know what? That's how you're gonna wither away. Just wither away. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I don't think the Bible teaches that. But in Luke, he says, I want fruit so bad that I'm going to put dung there. So if those two things are in your life and you say, man, why my Christian life is not as vibrant as it used to be? Man, get after it. Get after it. You're going to have to suck the nutrients. Isn't that amazing that nutrients come from waste? Isn't that crazy? Take all these bad in your life and allow him to redeem the qualities of it, and you take it in, and you become the spiritual man and woman he's intended you to be. See, a seed needs to grow, and then it needs to become a tree, not just a fruit. That's what people do. Let me give them a testimony. Here's my, you know, like, look what happened. Look at it. Well, that's just an apple. Look at this tree, man. Look at what God's doing in my life. It's amazing. And I'm able to produce many other trees off of my tree just because of all this fruit on there. So Jesus is the bread of life. Eat him. Life, life, life. He's the light of life. Use that light, man. Penetrate darkness with it. You'll see things like you've never. It'll change the way you walk. When I walk here in the morning, it's pitch dark, you know. And so what's funny is normally, like little things happen. Like, sometimes people put the chairs up a little bit different. I've had this row of chairs this way before, and I hit that last chair sometimes in the dark. You know, you're just like, dang it, you know. Now, if I stand here a while, I'd let my eyes adjust. Sometimes I just plug these little patio lights in up here. Pop, I plug them. I can see everything fine, right? I'm using the light that he's given me instead of stumbling around in darkness. Two things Jesus said. You will experience dung in your life and a massive amount of it, or you will be withered away because you're of no good. You're of no value. So I'm glad you come to church. I hope you get it. You grow. I hope you're nourished. I hope you enjoy like the music. I hope it ministers to your heart and all that. But more than anything, we want to glorify Christ. What we really want is growth. It's all about, it's the growth process that you can become a tree of life. Everybody, let's all go back to the middle of our Bible, the book of Psalms, man. Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. In Psalms chapter 1, it says this, verse 1. Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I like that, don't you? You're walking where you shouldn't walk. Before you know it, you're standing where you shouldn't be standing. And before you know it, this trajectory will leave you sitting with people you should not be sitting with. And notice it says, counsel of the ungodly, of sinners, of the scornful. But look at verse 2. But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. There's one opinion that matters. It's God's word. Amen? This is the book that matters. This is the book of truth. So don't stand, don't sit. Who cares what those people think? Who cares what their opinions are? If they're not based upon truth, it doesn't matter. We're getting our counsel from the wrong places, you know. That's what we do. You get on there and you start flipping through and you believe everything you hear. You know, we used to joke all the time, you know, like, oh my gosh, where'd you learn that one at? The internet, you know. Where did you get that one at? You know, TikTok. Yeah, you can learn a lot of things on there. You can learn a lot of ridiculous things that are absolutely not true. Now, you can learn some other things too. You know, if you don't know how to do ponytails, you can get it on TikTok. I've seen it. Verse 2 says this, and his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 2 basically says, if we delight in God's word, and not just delight in it, but meditate upon it, right? Getting nourishment from it. So we got the way, the truth, but for our life to be transformed, we've got to get in this book, delight in God's word and meditate on it day and night. I like this. It don't say every morning read, get the Bible app and read the two chapters with the Maple City Baptist Church. No, what you need to do is, yeah, read the two chapters, but you meditate upon that all day. Think about it. All day long, when you go to bed at night, go back that verse you highlighted and look at it. It's like, man, that's fantastic. What you're doing is you're absorbing it, you know. That's what you're doing. And we had a guy at our men's retreat one year. We said, hey, every guy, we need five guys to make a crock pot of chili or soup or something. And one guy, we get to the retreat, and I seen him take a crock pot. He put some like chicken broth in there and put a little water. He threw some spices, and he opened up a package of beans, hard beans. He dumped a pile of gravel in a crock pot. We were eating in like 2 hours. And the funny part about it was, I was like, and I don't claim to be the best cook in the world, but I've seen people soak like beans all day long to make them usable, you know? And so the funny thing about it is we started eating, people are like, I'm like, oh my gosh. And then all of a sudden you started hearing bink, bink, bink. People were throwing them around the room at each other. We're like, oh, what was that? Yeah, that was Brian's chili is what it was, you know. And what it needed to do was saturate. It needed to soak. You know, it's like anything, like the cucumber is going to be transformed into a pickle. Well, guess what it has to do? It has to marinate, man. It has to, sometimes when I cook certain kinds of meat, I'll do that. I'll put it in the fridge and let it marinate in something. Even if it's a dry rub, sometimes I'll let it marinate all night long, trying to absorb and soak that stuff in. And this is what he says here, is you just don't delight in God's word, but you meditate upon it. Marinate in the Bible and the things of God. And then it says in verse 3, if we'll do that, if we'll stop, here's what it says. Verse 1, quit listening to stupid people. Verse 2 says, but listen to the Lord. Listen to this book, and verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Every tree has a fruitful season, and it usually cycles. And depending on where you live, sometimes you get a couple cycles a year out of it. Around here, a lot of times, because we have harsh winters, it's usually just one season of fruit. But you bear fruit. His leaf also shall not wither. Isn't that interesting? His leaf won't wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It don't say you should have a lot of money. Don't read that into it. It just says you're going to be a prosperous, healthy believer. This is what he expects from you and me. Right here. We need to be like trees. Would you enlarge your thinking this morning instead of thinking of your little life as a piece of fruit? That piece of fruit, do you know how many seeds are in there? Do you know how many seeds are in there? What are you supposed to do with those? You're supposed to plant them. We end up tossing them away. That's how we are. Depending on where we lived in the world, if we were starving, we would not be doing such a thing. We'd be using all that stuff to plant. Why? Because then it can multiply. One apple can produce how many apple trees? unbelievable. That's how the Christian life's supposed to be. This is the message this morning. Be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Bear fruit. Think bigger. Don't just think, oh. Some of you would say, man, my life has really changed. Here's an area of my life that's really changed. How do you like this apple? If you would take that story and take the seeds that's inside that piece of fruit and put them elsewhere, you're going to find there's a lot of other people that struggle with the same thing you struggle with, and you're going to give them life. And they're going to say, my gosh, I can't believe this new growth inside of my life. Does everybody get it? Do you get it? It's simple. Seed, it's got to grow. And don't just say grow into a fruit. No, the seed grows, but actually a tree. It's like when I was born, I was just a baby. Well, I grew, and then I became a boy. And I went through all these stages of my childhood. And all of a sudden, the day happened, I met Becky, and I was like, hey, I was old enough now that the Bible says I had a seed inside of me. Me and my wife got married, and guess what? We have two kids of our own. And now they're getting older. I mean, we're just getting to experience some years where they're going to go on. And then what am I going to do? Well, they're going to have kids. And then I'm going to go from not just being a dad, not just being a husband. I'm going to be responsible and a king of my domain. I'm going to be a sage. I'm going to be like a tree. And I'm going to give these seeds and plant them everywhere. And I don't, you know, this church down in Florida might have thought I was a knucklehead, or they might have discovered I was a knucklehead. I don't know how that works. But it was nice to be able to stand up there because we have been where they've been. They're 5 years in the making. We've moved to several new buildings. We've done all kinds of craziness. And it was nice just to say, wow, you're doing it, man. You know, keep after it. This is how it works. Real growth happens slow. You don't get a tree overnight. If you want a squash, you can get that in a month or two under the right environments. If you want an oak tree, my friend, it's going to be years. Be patient. Be immensely patient with yourself. Grow. Get after it. Grow. You got it? That's the message for the day. Be a transformed life. Live in faith every day, relationally, and everywhere. Share the life. That's it. Jesus, thank you so much for your word today. I'm thankful for every man, woman that was able to come to church today. I pray, Lord, it was a blessing for them. Lord, I want to pray for any man or woman in the room that doesn't know you. And let me do this. Let me take a second, man, right in the middle of my prayer here. If you need Jesus Christ, like being a Christian is taking this incorruptible seed of the Bible, the Word of God, and by faith receiving it. You can do that. You can meet Jesus Christ today. It's literally a prayer. It's you opening up your heart, then you open up your mouth and ask Jesus Christ to come in. Is there anybody in the room that would say, I need to be a Christian? I need to be a Christian. Is there anybody here that would say, I think that's me. I need to be saved. I need to be a Christian. Anybody? Pop up your hand. You pop up your hand and I'll find somebody to open God's word and show you the details in Scripture. Anybody? What about the rest of us in here? Where are you at in your growth, believer? Are you like a tree? Man, are you producing fruit in your life? Is the fruit in your life got other seeds in it? Like, are you more than just good fruit? Are you like a tree? That's what he's always expected. Are you living your faith out every day? Are you a different person in church than you are at work? That's not good, man. That's not what he intended. Jesus, thank you for Psalms chapter 1. Thanks, Lord, for allowing us to be planted by living water, to have fruit in our season. But Lord, I'm thankful that we believe your word. I'm thankful to have a church that believes in getting in this book, teaching doctrine and changing behavior. Lord, I pray that we see more changed lives to come. Lord, we love you so much today. We're thankful that we're here to lift you and exalt your name on high. Amen. Amen.